did you come? And well, amen.
Don't forget you over at Don.
Keep him honest.
He's just glad he didn't say more.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Amen. Now you owe me a dollar. Praise the Lord. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you for everything. Thank you for the hospitality and love offering. I praise the Lord for that. And be heading out in the morning, headed back to Iowa. Got a meeting starting on next Sunday, so I got a little time to get ready for it. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Matthew, if you will, Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. And we'll get into the Word of God, find out what the Lord has for us out of this book. In Matthew chapter 9, look down here in verse 35, that's where we'll start reading to the end of the chapter, verse 38. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, verse 36, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Verse 37, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now what? Hold your finger here in Matthew chapter 9. Go back here to the book of Colossians with me. Colossians chapter 4. And in Colossians chapter 4, go to the second verse. We're going to read a few verses here. 2, 3, and 4. Continue in prayer and watch and sing with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bond, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Now I want you to notice here, in Colossians chapter 4, he's asking the church at Colossae to pray. He says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Then, in verse 3, he says, pray for us. And he's asking for a particular boldness to reach people for Christ. Now, prayer precedes the work, okay? That's always the way it is. Prayer precedes the work. Back here in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 38, it says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, I don't know how long of a period between chapter 9 and chapter 10 there was. I don't know. It could have been minutes. But I think it was longer than that. Because down here in verse 5 of chapter 10, these 12, now he names the 12 apostles here, and starting in verse 2. It's now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Paul, or Peter, and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lydias, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Then verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth. Now, I want you to remember what I said, prayer precedes the work, okay? So here in verse 38 of chapter 9, he says, pray the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. Chapter 10, verse 5, he sends those 12 that he named in the first few verses there, And he sent them into the field as laborers. So it's always prayer before the work. Now, let's look to the Lord in prayer before we preach, all right? Lord, we do love you. We thank you for the great things that you have done for us. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house tonight. And I pray that there's something here for us tonight. I pray that you'll work in our hearts. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want you to mention something very quickly before I get into the message. But this afternoon after church, we went up to the Chinese buffet and had a wonderful meal. Amen. Stuffed ourselves. And praise the Lord for that. Now, Brother Fenton was up there. Now, out of all the things that Brother Fenton said, I only remember one thing. And he said there's 35 churches here in the state of New York that need a pastor. Doesn't that shock you?
Come on.
35 churches in the state of New York that needs a pastor. Now, if you think about that with me, why? Why would that be the case? We're living in such a time that many people aren't going into the ministry, number one. Young people don't seem to feel like they're called into the ministry anymore. And when they go to Bible school, they'll go off to a Bible school. They'll study almost anything other than ministerial work. And then those that do study ministerial work, they only take a small church. When they come out of Bible school, they think that they're ready, even though the Bible says that we're not to have a novice behind the pulpit. It seems like that these novices want to go into a church of 200 or 300 and get paid $110,000 a year, and you know, buy them a house, not just have a parsonage, and all these different things they expect out of churches nowadays. And so these smaller churches are dying on the vine because there's nobody that'll get behind the pulpit and lead them anymore. 35 churches in the state of New York. Now, I don't know the sizes of these churches. I know the church in Rome is still over 100 people there. Yeah. And, you know, why they're having trouble getting a pastor, I don't know. The fact of the matter is, I don't know the reason why people don't want to pastor these churches, other than the fact that we're having a shortage of ministers. But the fact of the matter is, it ought to break our heart. It ought to break our heart. Do you realize that statistics prove to us that there's more missionaries coming off the field than going onto the field? So every time a missionary comes off the field, we don't have the missionaries to replace them. Whether they're coming off the field because of sickness, whether they're coming off the field because of age, whatever it may be, I don't know. But we don't have the missionaries to replace them. Now, it just seems like, you know, you hear people talking, you say, man, we got enough missionaries there. Do we? No, think about it. You can go to Dallas, Texas, and there's a Baptist church on every corner. You go down in Georgia, you don't have any trouble finding Baptist churches in Georgia. Matter of fact, think about it. Everybody's saved in Georgia. And you know, all these things are so true in the United States of America. I realize there's still places in America where there aren't Baptist churches. Don't get me wrong. I understand that. But here we've been so blessed with the gospel message and the world, and we're saying, man, there's too many missionaries in Brazil. There's too many missionaries in Australia. There's too many. No, there's not. There's not enough missionaries. Now here, the Lord Jesus Christ, he looks over the crowd, the multitudes out there, and he sees them as sheep having no shepherd. And he says, here we have this multitude out here, but there's no laborers to go out and work in the multitudes. So he turns to his 12 disciples, and he says, listen, I want you to pray to the Lord of the harvest. Now, he hadn't called them as apostles yet. He didn't do that until chapter 10. Now, here we are in chapter 9. He's talking to his disciples. He said, get on your knees and start praying that there'd be laborers that will go into the field. And so they do that. Next thing you know, in chapter 10, a little bit later, he's calling them saying, go out, do the work that you've been praying somebody else will do. You can do it. And that's part of your preparation process. Listen, after I'm taken out of this world, I'm ascended to the right hand of the Father, you're going to be left here to do the job. You're not going to have me here to do that, but I'm going to send you a comforter. And you'll be empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. When you receive the Holy Spirit of God, you go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, somebody may ask me, why do I believe all this stuff? Well, you get to thinking about those 11 apostles that were left after Judas Iscariot committed suicide. He betrayed the Lord, and then he went out and committed suicide. All right, now, those 11 apostles that were left, every one of them except one, gave their life for Jesus Christ. They died in the service of the King. Now, John almost died many times along the way. They tried to poison him. They tried to boil him in oil. They even exiled him to the Isle of Patmos. And what did they get? They got the book of Revelation as a result. The fact of the matter is that all of the apostles suffered greatly for the cause of Christ. Somebody can ask you and say, well, why on earth would you believe that? Jesus came forth from the grave alive. Well, there were 11 apostles that gave their life for that. If it was a lie, do you think they'd done that? I don't think they would have went through that. The fact of the matter is, he says to his disciples, pray the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. Listen, there's a harvest out there. And by the way, I believe there's still a harvest out there. I've had the opportunity through the last few months to lead several people to the Lord. Not that I'm anything. I'm not taking the credit. I'm just there when God used me. This last week up in Rome, a fellow got saved, and praise the Lord for that. But pray. There needs to be harvesters. Now I've got the harvest here. H-A-R-V-E-S-T. Now I hope I spelled it right. And but I'm going to go quick. You listen quick, and I'll use this acrostic, and we'll be done before you know it. The H, we need to pray for harvesters. Well, that's the laborers, those that will go out into the harvest. You know, I've been around for a few years. Now, I know it's pretty hard for me to conceal the fact that I'm 39, but I've been around, and I remember I worked in a Christian school down in a place called Halsted, Kansas. And while I was down there, Halsted Baptist Church, I was the youth director and the principal of the Christian school. And through those years that I was there, I noticed the farmers. The church that we had was made up of farmers. And they grew wheat down there, in case you didn't know. In Kansas, they grow wheat. They grew wheat down there. And they had these huge farms. I love to drive out there and see the wheat and how the wind's always blowing in Kansas, and they blow that wheat. And I remember one of the farmers said it was important for the wind to blow the wheat. And I said, well, why is that? And he said, well, it gives them strength, so when the wheat matures, it won't break over. God gives us the wind so it'll strengthen the stock. And it made sense to me at that time, amen. And so the fact is that I was very interested in that. And now at harvest time, these farmers didn't go out and harvest their own wheat. It was interesting to me, these guys come up from Texas. Now what they do, they start harvesting down in Texas because their wheat was always ready before the wheat up in Kansas. They start harvesting in Texas, and then they put their harvesters on the a semi-truck, go to Oklahoma, start harvesting wheat in Oklahoma. Then they put their harvesters on a semi-truck and come up to Kansas, and then they'd harvest the wheat, and the farmers would pay them. I don't know how they paid them. They paid them a certain amount for every bushel of wheat that they got. And then when they got done in Kansas, they'd go up to Nebraska, and then South Dakota, and then North Dakota. Some of them even go up into Canada, and they would harvest wheat all along the way, and that's how they made their money. Listen, what were they? They were harvesters. They didn't plant the wheat. They didn't have anything to do with the wheat growing. All they did was harvest the wheat. Now, I don't know about you, but that just seemed like a job I'd like to have. You know? I don't know if you've ever seen these huge combines. I mean, these things are huge. And nowadays, the John Deere's come out with a self, the thing drives itself. The person doesn't even have to drive it anymore. It's all computerized.
Yeah.
And he sets the computer, and it'll go out there and do the job. Now, I don't know if these guys coming up from Texas have got all those computerized ones, but it'd be kind of neat to see that, wouldn't it? They're out there probably smoking a cigarette, watching the thing, go around and make sure it doesn't go through the fence or whatever. But the fact of the matter is this, they were harvesters. That was their job. What's Jesus asking for us to pray for? Harvesters. He wants us to have laborers. Listen, what's the great need in our churches today? We need laborers. We need people that roll up their sleeves and do the job. We need people that go out and win souls. We need people that will tell people about Jesus. We need people that get excited about the death, the burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, we got a purpose in this life. Now, if we didn't have a purpose, why on earth did he save us and leave us here upon this earth? Listen, I was saved at the age of 8. And almost immediately after I was saved, I knew I had a purpose. I wanted to start reaching people for Christ. I took my Bible to school and started telling people about Jesus. I showed them my favorite verse in the Bible, John 3:16. And I just kept going over and over again. I had teachers tell me I couldn't do that, but I did it anyhow. I took it out at recess and showed people from my Bible. Before school, I'd get off the bus and start showing people from the Bible how to be saved. They sent me to the principal's office. He took my Bible away. I said, I want my Bible back. He said, you can have it at the end of the day. Well, I still talk to people. That didn't stop me from talking to people. But the fact of the matter is, as soon as I got saved, I knew I had a purpose. Now, that doesn't mean I won everybody that I talked to Christ. No, but along the way, there's been some people get saved. And if we just get interested in one soul, Andrew got saved. What did he do? He went and got Peter and said, we found the Messiah. And if you read John chapter 1, it says he brought him to Christ. Brought him to Christ. Listen, if we can get excited about what we got and go out and just get one. Just one. We're not talking about tons of people. We're not talking about filling a stadium. We're talking about one. I know you know somebody that's lost. You can call them on the phone. You can go to their house. You can do something and talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Those laborers, those harvesters had a vision. When you have a vision without a vision, the people perish with a vision. They get saved. The fact of the matter is this, those harvesters that I came in contact with down there in Kansas, or over there, wherever Kansas is from here, when I came in contact with those harvesters, listen, they had a vision. It wasn't just to do the crop there in Kansas. They were thinking ahead of the game. They were thinking about Nebraska. They were making phone calls to farmers. They were making their plans. They knew exactly after they were done there in Kansas where they were going in Nebraska. While they were in Nebraska, they were thinking about South Dakota. While they were in South Dakota, they were thinking about North Dakota. Listen, I want to tell you something. You never stop making plans. You reach one, then you think about another one. Then you think about another one. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to win them all to Christ. You can sure try. So pray for harvesters. Number two, pray for all nations. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. All the world. Let me see. That takes in Papua New Guinea. I met a young lady this week, last week now, that was going to Papua New Guinea. And I just shook my head. I said, you poor girl. Man, alive. I'm not going to say it. Are you putting this on the internet?
I can get it confirmed or not.
Papua New Guinea. That, you know what? My brother's in Australia. Been there for 40 years. Got a church going. Working there faithfully amongst the people. Just heard from him, I believe it was last night or the night before. And they're having flooding going on there, and it's very close to where they're at, so they need prayers. All the world, I still pray for Australia. Listen, we need to pray for more laborers to go to Australia. We need to pray for more laborers to go into Papua New Guinea and reach these people. And every tribe, the way I understand it, in Papua New Guinea has a different language. What a difficult place to preach the gospel when you can't preach the gospel to one group and then go over here and preach to another group because they have a different language. That would be very difficult. But I want to tell you something. Britain needs the gospel message. Russia, we don't have anything good to say about Russia. I met a missionary this last week that is going to Belarus. And I said, well, where is Belarus? And he told me, and I said, boy, I'll pray for you, brother. Hey, some of these missionaries are going with targets on their back. He said the job that he would be doing in Belarus was actually illegal. Think about reaching China for the cause of Christ. He had the underground churches, the churches that can't come, and publicly sing songs and open their Bibles and preach. They have to hide themselves. Listen, the government of China is very wicked. And this necktie, I believe it's this necktie, says handmade in China. It was probably made by a slave laborer, somebody that was actually a Christian that was in prison, made this tie. And I'm not saying that as a joke. I believe that's probably how it was made. Anything that's made in China, you got to think that it was made with slavery. The fact of the matter is, we got to pray for all nations. Going to all the world. It's not just this area. It's the area around the world. And by the way, this area needs Christ too. And I know Brother Rice has been working very hard in this area. But he needs help. He needs people that will get behind the program and see some great things happen. We are pray concerning our role. Are we obedient to the call to pray? Think about this. It says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the hosts. That's a